the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Immaculate Mother of the Church, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today the Church celebrates the memory of a great priest and we could say model of priesthood from the time of the Renaissance. He was a diocesan priest of Rome. I'm speaking of St. Philip Neri, who through his ministry as a priest actually earned the title as Apostle of Rome, which puts him up there with St. Peter and St. Paul, as far as you could read into that title. He came along at a time in church history that was greatly troubled. At that time, there was the Renaissance, which is a word that means rebirth, and it was the rebirth of the pagan Roman and Greek culture after a period that was dominated by Christian culture. Then came this desire to revive pagan culture. And so that created difficulties for the Christian life. And so it was a time of trouble. And at the same time occurred the Protestant Revolution. History not written by Catholics has come to call that period the Protestant Reformation, but in effect it was more of a revolution, and some of the great names of that period of history, the non-Catholic or the once Catholic names of Martin Luther and King Henry VIII of England, revolted against the Church and rejected the Pope and also various tenets of the Catholic faith. And so it was a time of great conflict. And St. Philip Neri, unlike others of the so-called Counter-Reformation, the Catholic Counter-Reformation, he took an approach that was rather unusual. He came from the city of Florence before he went to Rome, and in the city of Florence was an example of one of the reactions against these movements. A Dominican priest by the name of Savonarola, if I'm saying that correctly, who denounced with great energy the errors of his time. He ranted, as this historian puts it, against materialism and secularism. And in particular, he was very critical of many of the Church's leaders, because taken with these currents that were contrary perhaps to the previous Church history, many of the clergy were swept up by these enthusiasms for art and music, which in some of its expressions wasn't exactly compatible with the Christian morals of the time. So Savonarola, this Dominican priest of Florence in this time, was considered a firebrand. And St. Philip Neri took a different approach. He did not denounce Savonarola. He considered him a saint, but that wasn't what the Holy Spirit inspired in St. Philip Neri. St. Philip Neri, we could say, confronted this confrontation with the sweet weapons of Christ: joy and patience and mercy. And he selected positive means rather than the negative. And not, as I say, out of an ideological position so much as just his personal disposition and the inspiration he received from the Holy Spirit. He saw the decadence of the clergy and didn't, that's not to be denied, but he didn't find it necessary to speak on that. And he also saw the errors of the time of the pagan culture that was being revived, and the doctrinal errors of Protestantism. but rather than attack those frontally with negative rhetoric, he sought the joy of Christ and his personal genius. He wasn't known for preaching. He did actually end up becoming the founder of the Oratorians. That wasn't, though, what he set out to do. His real genius was in the joyful and faithful and positive use of his ministry to personally reach sinners and draw them to Christ and bring them to conversion. And one of the aspects of his genius was to take the good elements, the positive elements of these movements that were going on, and incorporate them into his ministry. So he had a great love for the arts, for music, for literature, and for history, and converted those enthusiasms that were getting away from Christ and from the church and brought them to serve Christ in the church. As I say, one of his catechetical methods was the oratory that he founded, where he would invite, it was basically open to anybody who wanted to come, and it had a very particular approach to prayer. It was structured after a period of testing. He came to have a certain methodology where they would begin with reading, usually from the scripture or for the lives of the saints. So then there would be some commentary, and oftentimes he would hand the commentary over to lay people. Then there would be perhaps some conversation and an exhortation given by another speaker, then a talk on church history, another reading with commentary, and there would be interspersed with all this activity short prayers and hymns and music, and finally, at the end, the singing of some new musical composition or anthem. And this became very popular, and because of its appeal to the people, there sprang up around him this group of priests who wanted to participate in this unusual and charismatic form of the priesthood. And so there developed this group called the Oratorians. And that form of prayer and catechesis spread throughout Italy and eventually to other parts of the world. I would like to mention just a few names that are associated with Philip Neri, because we in America don't know him as well as perhaps St. John Vianney, who is considered the model for diocesan priesthood, and certainly he deserves that title. But in Italy in particular, Philip Neri kind of fills that role and has since his time. And some of the names associated with him in his lifetime, he had two very famous disciples. One was Palestrina, who is considered perhaps the master of choral composition. And Palestrina was one of his disciples, and many of his famous works that we sing still today were written to help in this ministry of the oratory. And another name, which I've heard, and I didn't know who it was until reading up on St. Philip Neri, was another disciple named Caesar Baronius, who St. Philip employed in this work of historical research and apologetics, beginning when he was only 20 years old. He would each week ask Baronius to speak on some aspect of church history, and he had him begin at the Pentecost, so the feast that we just celebrated, and work his way through the entire history of the church till up to the present time, which was the Renaissance, And so it took Baronius 3 years to go through the entire history of the church, speaking on some topic each week. And then when he completed that, St. Philip had him go back and begin at the beginning. And he did this cycle for seven times of the entire history of the church and became an expert on, you know, the apologetics. And this was, it turns out, a way of combating Protestantism, because one of the claims of Luther was that the Catholic Church had gotten away from the truths of the primitive, of the original apostolic church. And what Baronius was able to do under the guidance of St. Philip was show that the church, in the times of the Renaissance, was still absolutely faithful to all of the tenets from the apostolic times, whereas Luther, in fact, was destroying the apostolic teaching of the church, in particular by rejecting the priesthood. So we come back to what was really, truly St. Philip Neri's genius of being a priest after the heart of Christ, one who loved people greatly, who attracted them through his joy, through his kindness and teaching, and who reached them personally through his charisms, particularly in the confessional, which is where he helped so many people in his day in Rome shed the errors of the time and remain faithful to the true doctrine of the church while still being in that environment and not entirely rejecting the good aspects that were going on at the time, but bringing them into the church and making them holy. So he also had a great devotion to Our Lady, as did all the saints, and we thank the Blessed Virgin Mary for her guidance of saints throughout the history of the church, and ask her to raise up in our time, which may in some ways be comparable to the decadence, let's say the moral decadence that began in the Renaissance. And we ask her to guide in particular the present Bishop of Rome, who it seems in some ways is taking some of the sanctity of St. Philip Neri and his priestly style and applying it to the papacy, looking to the positive, looking to joy and mercy as the means of bringing the world to Christ. We entrust Pope Francis and all the priests, the entire clergy, to the care and guidance of the Blessed Virgin Mary. May she help us confront the errors of our time in a way that draws people to Christ and to the truth and to conversion. Praise be Jesus and Mary.